curling a lot more than it.
Yeah, I got one.
There is a big word called eschatology, which simply means the things of the last days. And in the scope of eschatology is, for example, the second coming of Jesus, the millennium, the judgment, and all of the end time things that we think about that don't come to my mind right now, plus heaven. And through the years, we've talked about a lot of these different things, the Battle of Armageddon and all the end time events. But we've never talked about the New Jerusalem. And so our study, which will begin tonight and conclude the next time that we come together for this kind of a study, has to do with the New Jerusalem, which is going to come down out of heaven. I'd like for you to take the Bible and turn to 2 Peter 3:10. And after you find it, just keep your finger there and then go back to the paper that was passed to you. Second Peter 3:10. Then mark it some way, and then I'd like for you to take this paper that you've received and just spend a little time reading it, if you will. You can see in the very center this square or this cube called the, it looks like a diamond, but it's the New Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven. That little S that you see is the river of life that we're going to read about tonight that flows through the New Jerusalem. Just take time to read the scripture and the caption at the bottom, if you will. I'm sure you haven't finished, but at least what you have read is in your mind. 2 Peter 3:10 reads like this. And you, well, read with me if you're following the TEV version. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will disappear with a shrill noise. The heavenly bodies will burn up and be destroyed, and the earth will, everything in it, will vanish. The King James, do we have King James with us tonight? Okay, 2 Peter 3:10. Okay.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Okay. The earth is going to be destroyed by this terrible, it says a noise. Now, I don't know what this is. Is it an explosion? Is it a nuclear holocaust? What is it? The scripture says that God destroyed the earth the first time by the element of what?
Water.
And then it also says that God is going to destroy the earth again the second time by the element of what?
Fire.
Now, if we believe the word of God, we have to believe that. That God's going to destroy this beautiful earth that we're living in, beautiful King City, beautiful everywhere. It's going to be destroyed, and we know how. It's clearly stated by fire. Now, we don't know when. Disciples asked Jesus, when's it going to happen? And Jesus says, can't tell you. He says, I can't tell you because I don't even know. You see, he took upon himself the limitation of a man and did not know. He said the angels in heaven don't even know. Only God the Father knows when it's going to come. But now when it comes, it's come like a thief in the night, and they're going to have this explosion. The earth and all of its works is going to be burned up, and I don't know whether or not the new earth is going to be the place of heaven or whether it's going to be a brand new earth somewhere, as we call it, earth. He does say there's going to be a new earth. The new earth could be as a result of the devastation by fire. Because, you know, any time fire goes through something, what's left is new in terms of what it was before. So it could be that this new heaven that you see in the center of your page will come down to what is now the earth in our solar system, but yet a new earth because it's been newly created by fire. Fire can do that. We're going to see a lot of interesting things in this study, we're going to see in a little bit that all the oceans are going to be evaporated. Fire can do that, you know. And that would just leave no oceans. But let's wait till we get there. The Bible begins with a garden and it ends with a city. And there's a city you see right there. The throne of God and of the Lamb. It's coming down out of heaven. Now if you'll turn to Revelation 20, which is the basis of our study, we just had to get the earth destroyed first so we could get to Revelation 20. That is, 21. The new heaven and the new earth. It's all brand new. God's fixing us up something really beautiful here. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. John has been given this vision when he's in the cave in the Isle of Patmos. He's been exiled there from the city of Ephesus. He's crossed the Mediterranean Sea. He's been put on this little island, and he has a vision. And he there saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth disappeared. Okay, that's because it said earlier in Peter's writings that it's going to be burned up. The first earth disappeared, and the sea just vanished. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared and ready like a bride dressed to meet her husband. I heard a loud voice speaking from the throne. Now God's home is with mankind. He will live with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them. He will be their God. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more grief, or crying, or pain. Why? Read. The earth with its former ways have disappeared. They've all been burned up. And so now it's all brand new. And what's brand new is something that we've not even experienced before. It is the elimination of all these things, which again we'll study later. He gives a very minute description of the heavenly city, and before we study it, I want to run through the scriptures so you can get the whole panoramic view. First of all, its general appearance. Read verse 11, would you? This is the general appearance of the city. Shining with the glory of God, the city shone like a precious stone, like a jasper, clear as crystal. All right, verse 18. The wall was made of jasper, and the city itself was made of pure gold, as clear as glass. And verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate was made from a single pearl. Wow. The street of the city was of pure gold, transparent as glass. So this is the general appearance. Second thing to note is the walls, verse 12. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels in charge of the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of the people of Israel. And then verse 18. The wall, again, was made of jasper, and the city itself was made of pure gold. It talks about the wall. If you look on the, what do you call this? It's not a cartoon. It's not a map. As you look, if you look at the visual aid, you will see the pearls. You see the three pearls on one side of the gate, I mean of the wall, the three pearls on the other side. And you really can't read. The copying was not that good. But on the bottom layer of foundation stones, which we're going to read about later, you'll find the word Mark, Luke, Peter, Paul. And then up where the pearl is, you will see the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And all this is very significant, which we'll talk about later. Okay, the general appearance, the walls, the gate, verses 12, we read that. Verses 13 says there were three gates on each side, three on the east, three on the south, three on the north, and three on the west. And then verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate was made from a single pearl. So here we have the gates. Then the foundation of this beautiful city, verse 14, read with me. The city's wall was built on 12 foundation stones on which were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And then verse 18 and 20, which we've looked at before, talks about the foundation as well. Now, how big was this city? I told you once that I walked around King City one night with someone, and we just walked around the city, and we claimed the whole city for Jesus. And that was a spectacular event, and many things happened that evening on that walk. Well, I'm afraid we can't do it at the New Jerusalem site, because if you will look on its size, verse 15, 16, and 17, let's read. The angel who spoke to me had a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city was perfectly square, as wide as it was long. The angel measured the city with his measuring stick. It was 1,500 miles long and was as wide as high as it was long. The angel also measured the wall, and it was 216 feet high, according to the standard unit of measure which he was using. So this tells you the size of the city. Boy, talk about a rapid transit system. You would have to have something. You already got it. Remember what you got on your back when you get there? I can see Brent bumping into Donna as they go back and forth. Okay, that's the size. We'll come back to that in our study too. But the point is that you can see on the visual aid, supposedly it's a cube. Now, why would it be a cube? Well, it was a cube after the making of the tabernacle, which the Holy of Holies was a cube. Okay, we got the appearance, the walls, the gates, the foundation, the size. What else can we look at? What about the PG&E, the lighting system? Verse 23 and 24. Let's read verse 23 and 24. The city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, because the glory of God shines on it, and the Lamb is its lamp. The peoples of the world will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their wealth into it. So, you see, you never have to worry about a blackout or a brownout. And it's not there.
No price for PG&E.
No price, no, nothing to worry about. There is no light. Well, how are you going to see? How will you see?
The light of the Lamb.
Remember Moses' face shone when he was encountered with his encounter with God. Remember that Jesus was transfigured on the mount, and he shone, you know, he radiated. Okay, when we get to heaven, there is no moon which reflects the light of the sun. There is no sun, because remember, it's all been destroyed. And we have no need of light, because God's going to be there with his light, and the light of the world is Jesus. So there's no need to have the sun, the moon, or the lamp, because the glory of God's going to give the light. All right, what about not having the temple? Verse 22, it's going to be a place that doesn't have a temple. read, I did not see a temple in the city. Why? Because its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. They didn't need the temple. They don't need the community church building. They don't need all the beautiful places of worship in the world. They did not need the temple. Why? Because the temple represented God. They came into the temple. That's where God's presence was. Like this building. This building represents God. We are to come into the presence of God. And so, when you come into the church, for example, into God's room here, and then you leave, sure, you can't get away from God. You know how high you go or how deep you go. You can't get away from God. But still, we say, we're going out into the world and we're getting away from God because God is right here. That's what we're saying. You understand that I'm saying that's not true. Okay. Now, where was I?
Clear as mud.
Right. They went to the temple to meet God. Then they went back to their home. They got away from God, although you know you can't get away from God. When they get to the big city, the big city, they don't have to worry about a place to meet God because that is God. That is God. And the city itself is the church. And that's just a real beautiful fact to realize that for us today, see if I can find that, it's just where God is. The New Jerusalem equals the Christian church in a state of great prosperity and purity. So they get to the new city and they don't have to worry about having a church to go to because they're in the church. You see, they're in the very presence of God. Okay, a city without a temple. It's a city that's always open. Some little towns roll up the sidewalks, you know, after dark. Some towns in the Orient close the big giant gates to keep people out. Well, it says in verse 25 that it's going to always be open. The gates of the city will stand open all day. Remember, there is no night, so they can't close them. They will never be closed because there will be no night there. They closed the gates when it was dark. It's never going to get dark, so they don't have to close the gates. It's all right there.
She said, where would they go anyway? And I said, well, we're all captives.
No, you're not. And maybe we'll get to that some night. We're free. We're free to go. And some say, and there's no scripture for it, that you might go polish a star, or you might go out and explore a universe somewhere. If you get back, you know, supper, and you can go. You will be free to come and go. There is a scripture that we'll look at some night about that. But anyway, the gates will always be open. It's not going to be walled in. The inhabitants will not be prisoners, nor will they be in danger of being harmed. You know, they closed the door so that people wouldn't be harmed. You're not going to get hurt in the big city.
When I just read that the glory of God shines on it, man, that really thrills me to the bottom of my toe. That really excites me. Every once in a while we get a little glimmer of that, you know, when we're really, really shut this old world out and just get a little taste of it, what that glory is like. Or if some of you've experienced dreams or something, you have just a little flicker of it. Man, that must be tremendous. Who would want to go anywhere?
And that's why.
In His presence.
We want to get there. There's only one way to get there, and you know it's by Jesus. And once you've accepted Jesus, you know, why stay around in Earthville? Let's go. Let's go.
So the thing I like about it is there's no pain, no worries.
That's right.
Any of that.
Everything that's associated with the human is not there.
Yeah, that's what I like.
We have in the past studied this, and may I just mention it, that when you die, you don't go to this heaven that we've been talking about tonight. If any of you were planning on taking your life, you just don't go straight to the big city. You have to wait. You have to They can laugh, but you can't. You have to wait until the earth is destroyed. Now, you might help by a few bombs. Okay, then the happy, triumphant state begins.
What is meant by call us into the third heaven?
Not really. They're different interpretations. Well, I can give you my idea. Sometimes we get caught up in degrees of holiness, like, and he was caught up in the various heavens. There are classifications of heavens. There is the heavens that the birds fly in. There are the heavens where the clouds are. Then there is a way up in the ionosphere, I guess you call it. There is another kind of heaven than the celestial heavens. There are many heavens, like Paul speaks about. This heaven, the word heaven used to describe the big city as it comes down, is not the kind of heaven that we think about when we say, hey, there's an airplane in the heavens or in the sky. That probably did not answer your question.
I love the sky. And he got up on something else.
Turn this channel more often.
I went swimming today. That's what happened to me.
Can I ask a question?
Let just hold it just for a minute. We got to get these people who are going to die. When you die, you don't go to the city. But contrary to some of my real good Catholic friends. Oh, we have somebody. Some Catholics believe, I don't know whether you believe this or not, but some people believe in a state of unconsciousness, and some believe in a state of consciousness.
They believe that when you die, you don't go to heaven.
What do you think, what is the basic belief of your church, Dottie? Not your belief, but what you think most people believe.
Well, we believe in the purgatory.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. So very few people are that holy that they can just go right to the Lord.
Right. Okay.
And so we believe that there is a purgatory. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a state of consciousness, isn't
yes.
it?
Very much so.
Okay.
Much so.
All right.
So we've had certain people have had visions. Mm-hmm. And how the lost souls that don't have anyone to pray for them cry out.
Right. I can appreciate that theology and the beliefs that many have, and maybe you too.
Who, you know, is that holy that they can just go right to Jesus?
Right.
You know, so that this...
Okay. All right. I believe that when a person dies, that they go into a state of consciousness too. Not to this place, because you've got to wait for a time. In other words, we've got to have the second coming. We've got to have the judgment. We've got to have the destruction of the world before, as you see in the visual aid, the city comes down to the earth. In the meantime, for those who have died, like my mom last week and Luella Brock's grandson this morning, I believe that they go into a state like the Bible speaks about from Luke's writings of consciousness, like Abraham's bosom. And they are there. And it is a little paradise-like. You can't call it heaven, but it is, I feel, in the presence of God. And so a Christian who dies, I feel, goes into the presence of God and is there until the time comes for the judgment, the second coming, and all these different things that will happen, and then goes from that place called paradise into the big heaven that we're studying tonight. Let me entertain some questions right here before we go on, because I'm...
In other words, we're in a state of limbo until the world comes to an end if we die.
Well, I personally feel that it's not limbo.
this question, when do we go to that mansion that's prepared for us?
Okay, the mansion is right here. It's in here.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
After we die, I believe, we're in the same place that God is, and there is no time with God. So I believe, this is what I have got from what I believe, is once, if the Lord accepts me through those gates, everything has happened, because there is no time. And that's hard to grasp. And it's just, I'm just gutted by my fingertips anyway.
Yeah.
But, so I, you know, I feel that once I'm there, I've already seen all this happen, and Earth's come to the end, blah, 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 and I'm, you know, squeezing his ankles for about a million years.
Okay. Well, I respect that, even though it's probably wrong. Kevin, he can't get, if Jerry dies tonight, he will not get to the big city before I do. Because
right.
The big city has not come down yet out of
that's
heaven.
Right. You're right.
Okay, I'm missing, I did not hear you.
He didn't say
that's
right.
To the I didn't
heaven.
Say nothing like that, did I?
Uh-uh.
Read my lips.
No,
go ahead.
Okay.
Do people
really dead Christ rise first? So that must be when this happens.
That's when the Lord is coming back again.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Do people go to heaven when they die?
Okay, here's a question. Do people go to heaven when they die? I believe that people go into the presence of God when they die.
Which would have to be heaven.
Which would have to be heaven. But not the heaven that we're talking about tonight that's contained in
the
city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is where the second and third comes in.
And then if you haven't received him, then you go to the other place.
If you have not received him, then you go to a place called Gehenna. Hades is divided, and one section of Hades happens to be Gehenna. Well, let's get back to the city. Will me?
The other section. It's Bernardo.
Okay, verse 25, we found out that the gates will never be closed because they only were closed at nighttime, and there's going to be no night there, therefore the gates will always stay open. That's good. Okay, another thing in just in this overview of the minute description of the city is found in verse 27, which is to say it has to do with the inhabitants. They're going to be pure and holy. Verse 27, but nothing that is impure will enter the city, nor anyone who does shameful things or tells lies. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of the Living will enter the city. So if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book, you can't get into the big city.
So, in order to get your name in this book, all you have to do is accept Christ as your Savior.
That's right.
And do the very best you can from that day forward.
Well, you can stop at the first thing. Just get your name in the book by accepting Jesus as your personal Savior.
Okay, and then once it's there, it's there.
And once it's there, I believe it can never be taken out.
Okay.
Now, someday, some night, we're going to get to the part of those homes Nancy was talking about. The degrees in heaven, I believe the Bible teaches about. And that is based upon your closeness to the Lord once you've accepted Him. Okay, the inhabitants are going to be pure. Nobody's going to be there whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book. The reason that if the city comes soon and we all get to go into it, we're going to, it says nothing that is impure will enter the city. Well, all of us are impure. But what is impure is what we live in. And when we die, we're going to leave behind the impurities of the flesh. Therefore, the soul, which has been made pure by the blood of Jesus, then we'll have access into the New Jerusalem. Okay, let's look at chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. Its enclosures and its environments, I think, are seen here.
I'm curious about verse 26.
Okay, we skip verse 26. The greatness and the wealth of the nations will be brought into the city. I think in his vision, he was seeing all of these things which were brought like to a king, and people would like the bounty. They would just be bringing all their treasures into a king. It is a verse that is difficult to explain because the impression is people are going to be bringing things there, and yet there is nothing we can bring there that is not already there because it's purely made by God. But the verse seems to read that we're going to be bringing things in there. The greatness and the wealth of the nations will be brought into the city. I really don't know what that means, Wayne.
Well, it indicates to me that the city will be set on the earth and there will be nations around about the city.
It could be.
That's what it sounds like.
It could be. It could well be.
Well, King James says glory and honor. That's not necessarily like
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I don't think it's material.
It could be either way. Let's look at just a couple more things. Chapter 22, read verse 1 and 2, and it has to do with what's inside the city. The angel also showed me the river of the water of life, sparkling like crystal, and coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and flowing down the middle of the city street. On each side of the river was the tree of life, which bears fruit 12 times a year, once each month, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. All right. The stream is pure as crystal, is flowing down like you see on the visual aid, that little S-shaped river. And on either side of the bank of this river, there are these trees that bear, and they don't bear 12 different kinds of fruit. They bear fruit every month. Usually trees only bear once a year. Here they're bearing every month of the 12 months. It's paradise regained. It's holy. It's beautiful. The Garden of Eden was just an imperfect emblem of what we're going, what we've read about here. It's a free place where people can come and go. It's a place where the righteous shall reign forever. Death won't enter there. It's just a place that we just cannot comprehend at all. It's a place to which we can go someday.
Why do they need these leaves for the healing of the nations?
That's what I want to know. Why nations? I mean, I always have been under the impression that when judgment comes and the end comes, you're going to have an eternity, a finality. That everybody's going to be one and it's all going to be together. And so what are you going to heal nations for? Because when you're there, everybody should be healed and in love and so forth. Yeah.
Well, this description is before the coming of Jesus. This description we're reading is before the coming of Jesus.
I knew somebody would ask that, so here's the answer. The leaves of the tree, not only the fruit will contribute, we talked about the bearing fruit every month, not only will the fruit contribute to give life to the people, because people will be eating, you know, Jesus ate. You're just not going to sit around. You will be eating and you'll be working. You'll have things to do. You'll be praising God. Okay, not only are the fruit will contribute to give life, but even the leaves will help. Everything about it will contribute to sustain life. And the healing is the sustaining of that life. It contributes to life and health to those who had been diseased, like we all have been. So when we get there, we can partake of these leaves, and it's symbolic, because the whole book is symbolic. Even this heaven that we're talking about tonight is symbolic. It's contributing to the healing of ourself because we have been diseased. This man says, we are not to suppose that there will be sickness and a healing process in heaven, for that idea is expressly excluded in chapter 21, verse 4. You can't get sick in heaven. But the meaning is that the life and health of that blessed world will have been imparted by partaking of that tree. And the writer says that in fact it was owing to it that they who dwelt there had been healed of their spiritual imperfections and had been made to live forever and ever. So we will partake of that tree. Okay, go back to this if you will as we conclude our overlay tonight. Behold, I make all things new. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And then you see written, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And there it is, coming down. You see the throne of God. You see the river, the trees. You see the pearl gates. On the left-hand side, the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And you see all the angels there. And on the right-hand side, unto the King eternal be honor and glory forever and ever. These angels are singing all these things. It finally is done. Now, at the bottom, there are some things for you to think about as we're dismissed. In their respective relationship to the new heavens and the new earth, three companies are mentioned in the scriptures. First of all, an innumerable company of angels, Hebrews 12:22. We'll study this next time we meet for this study. Number two, the church of the firstborn, Hebrews 12:23. Named as immortal king, priest, and co-regents with the Lamb upon his throne to reign forever and ever. Revelation 22. And then number three, the third group of people, would be the nations of them which are saved, the subjects of Christ's millennium kingdom. They shall walk in the light of it, that is, the holy city, the bride, the Lamb's wife. So down at the bottom, you see the earth, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. So what I hope we've done this evening is not dampened your feelings, but what do you say? You don't say wetted. What do you say?
Wetted.
Wetted?
Wetted.
Spark. I like that, wetted. We have wetted our spiritual sensitivities to what is this new Jerusalem, the holy city. Could there be a city 1,500 miles long? You know, that is London to New York, or farther. And that high, and that wide, a cube. Could there be a city, and we'll answer this next week, or when we meet, that would be 700 and, what did my dad say, 69,000 stories tall? Is your house basically a cube? Not all your homes.
Yeah.
Your ranch houses you build are not that way, spread all out. But basically a house can easily be a cube. All right? A lot of houses, a lot of stories, a big city. Now, one thing you may have thought about the walls weren't very tall. But you don't need a wall for the reason walls were originally built, to keep people out, enemies out, because there will be no enemies. So the wall, which is only 360 feet tall around this city that's enormously high, is there just for what? Ornament's sake? Set it off good, make it look good? We'll talk about the wall too. But I hope you'll read all that you can and study the chart here. Revelation 21 and Revelation 22, the first few verses, give more information about this holy city. Next Wednesday night, we had scheduled about a month ago, Mike Cawley to speak. So next Wednesday night, we'll meet here, and Mike will deliver our message and our study. Then the next Wednesday night, we'll come back to this. And the following Wednesday night, we'll have an ice cream social.
You mean we've got to wait a whole 2 weeks to find out what happened?
And the continuing saga.
Yeah,
instead of standing, let's just kneel, may we, before we dismiss. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn with me to the book of Revelation. We will continue part two of the New Jerusalem. When last we met, we gave a very brief description of what this place is going to be like. And we touched just in passing a whole lot of different things. We talked about the gates, the walls, the appearance, the foundation, the size, the light, a city who had no temple, a city whose gate never had to be closed, the inhabitants being pure and holy, a place where righteousness will reign forever and ever. And we just talked at great length about this. And before you on the tables, you see the visual aid that has to do with our last study, and then this evening too. It shows in the very center this new Jerusalem that's going to come down from heaven. At the offset this evening, I want to say this. I may say some things tonight that you've never heard of or thought about, and because it's new, you may brand me a heretic right away. But I still love you anyway, and I think that if we will just have open minds to some of the things we'll discuss tonight, maybe you will see it the way I tend to see it, which is probably all wrong. As a matter of fact, you're probably wrong too, because when we get there and when it comes to us, I'm persuaded that it's not going to be anything like we studied tonight, nor have thought about. It's all going to be much greater and grander than we can possibly think. We'll go to Revelation 21, verse 1, where it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The chances are this is about the only verse we'll get to tonight because of our material. We want you to feel free to ask questions, to make contributions. We've asked you to give some thought to this subject since last we met. The Bible begins with a garden and it ends with a great city, a brand new city that's going to be given to us. Would you turn, if you would, to the book of Revelation, to the book of Isaiah, because there are four verses that we want to read that I think are background material before we get into the words in Revelation. Isaiah 65, verse 17. Would somebody on this side of the congregation turn to that and be prepared to read Isaiah 65, 17. And on this side of the congregation, Isaiah 66, 22. Isaiah 65, 17 and Isaiah 66, 22. Now before you read, let me read this verse and listen carefully. It comes from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will disappear with a shrill noise. The heavenly bodies will burn up and be destroyed, and the earth with everything in it will vanish. Now, Peter says this. Now, Isaiah, hundreds of years before, writes, would somebody read Isaiah 65, 17. Okay. Now, Isaiah also writes in 66:22, somebody.
Just as the new earth and the...
Anyone.
Well, somebody read.
Just as the new earth and the new heavens will endure by my power, so your descendants and your name.
Okay. New heavens and new earth is mentioned by Isaiah two times. Now, to my knowledge, that's the only places in the Old Testament that talk about the new heavens and new earth. And then when we read, as we did in Revelation 21, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, between Isaiah's writings and John's writings in the Revelation, there is this writing in 2 Peter, which if you'll turn to page 323, you can follow with me again. Isaiah had a vision of a new heaven and a new earth. John on the Isle of Patmos has a vision of a new heaven and a new earth. And Peter also records, chapter 3, verse 10. Let's all read that together if you're using the pew Bibles or the table Bibles. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day the heavens will disappear with a shrill noise, the heavenly bodies will burn up and be destroyed, and the earth with everything in it will vanish. I guess that takes care of the earth.
Why would the heavenly bodies burn up?
Well, stars, the moon. Okay.